What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Sean, Lineup Logic Podcast. Before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. Of course, you guys have heard me talk a lot about Harry's over the last couple months. Harrys.com/lineup. That is where you need to go if you need high quality shaving products. I've been a Harry's guy for a long time. Get over to Harrys.com/lineup. Sign up. Okay. Pay the shipping. You're going to get their sample trial package for free. Razor, handle, shaving cream. I know you're going to love it. It's a huge value, okay? I'm telling you. You're going to get the great way to support the show, and you're going to get a great product in return. So head over there, harrys.com/lineup. Let's get into today's slate. Going on, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane. Congratulations, Philadelphia. You did it. You did it in epic fashion. Doug Peterson deserves a world of credit for saying, this is how you have to beat the Patriots. This is the way you got to do it. You got to be aggressive. You be aggressive on fourth down. You do all these crazy things because honestly, if you try to play it like a normal game, you're probably going to lose. And they didn't play it like a normal game. They played like they were playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and you play to win because the worst that's going to happen is you're going to lose. You know, a lot of credit to Doug Peterson. Congratulations to the city of Philadelphia. Stop burning things. Stop hurting yourselves. Stop destroying convenience stores. Not cool. But continue listening to Meek Mill at max volume. Continue kissing strangers. That is a good thing. Continue dancing. All of those wonderful things. My sister texted me this morning that Philadelphia public schools are in a 2-hour delay, which is just classic. Wonderful. So enjoy it. Mike Alexander, of course, you guys know Mike from the football show and an MMA and golf contributor for us. He's on cloud nine, and I'm thrilled for you, Mike. Congratulations, buddy. Anyhow, great game. Hope you enjoyed it. Let's talk some NBA. We got a 7-gamer coming up here on Monday night. Of course, it's a little bit of a letdown from the Super Bowl. No real headline games here. Nothing, you know, kind of some throwaway teams in action. We had Saturday night was a great slate. But you know, Sunday had all that screwy pricing, which was hilarious. But Saturday, you know, Monday's meh, it's okay. But we got some plays. It's just very strange. Roster construction is going to be very, very strange. You have some positions that are absolutely loaded and then you have some positions that are brutal. It's going to be a much more comfortable night playing on DraftKings, like, because you can hammer shooting guard and power forward and center and not really have to worry about small forward or anything like that. On FanDuel, it's going to be a little bit more complicated. So we'll talk about it, figure out what we want to do here. Of course, you guys know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through Vegas, go through the injuries, talk through all of that, and then we will get into the player breakdown. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get straight into it. All right. Tonight's slate begins in Florida. Of course, where we have the Heat and the Magic going up against each other. 7:30 tip in this one. It's actually not the first game. Sorry, we have 2 7 o'clock games, but whatever. 207 total here. Heat are favored by 7 at home. Makes good sense. I mean, this Orlando team is just an absolute disaster. Just a disaster. Like, not even relatively respectable. No clear future. I have no idea what to say. As far as injuries go in this one, Miami rotation has been pretty solidly clear lately. No serious injuries. Hassan Whiteside is questionable. That illness that led him, that sat him out on Saturday. We'll see if he's going to play. Not really sure about that. On the Orlando side of things, Darren Gordon continues to be questionable. They're not going to rush him out there. They're losing every night, so what's the point? If he doesn't play, it's going to be Mario Hezonja. We know what Mario Hezonja is. Maybe some Mari Spates. Who knows? I'm not touching them against Miami. Solid defense. On the Miami side of things, there's definitely some pieces that we're going to want. So we'll talk about it. No doubt about it. Portland is going to Detroit. 210 total here. Detroit is favored by 2 at home. They are undefeated with Blake Griffin on the floor. Greatest trade ever. I'm kidding. I do not have a favorable opinion of that trade because of the money. That's my problem with it. Way too much money. It's a short-term deal. It's Van Gundy trying to save his job and make this season relevant. Luke Kennard is questionable with a foot thing, which probably means you're going to get a whole lot of Reggie Bullock, Stanley Johnson, if he can't go. You know, we've seen their ceiling. We know what their best is. We still, you know, the matchup is not amazing with Portland. I do think that they're going to probably struggle. You know, they're not elite players. This isn't an amazing fantasy matchup like the Cleveland game. So I don't know how much interest I have in those guys. But they could get more run, and they're reasonably priced. On the Portland side of things, no injuries that we need to necessarily be too concerned about. You know, Shabazz Napier has been dealing with a toe injury, but that doesn't really affect the guys that we're interested in from a fantasy perspective. So that's it in that game. It's an interesting game. I mean, it should be competitive all the way through. It's just a question of how much, you know, how much of that do you want? Is it going to be that high scoring? It definitely shouldn't. I don't really see it as high scoring, you know? I don't really see that being a high-scoring contest. So, moving on. Washington at Indiana, 213 total here. Indiana favored by 2.5 at home in this one. Relevant injury news, the Pacers have a couple things going on. Miles Turner now questionable with a knee. Now, I think it was the knee that was keeping him out earlier in the season. He's got a sore knee, and Victor Oladipo just popped up on the injury report with an illness. And I believe Darren Collison as well. So going to have to keep our eyes on the Pacers news here. There's going to be a lot of changes to that roster. Lance would be a hugely interesting if those guys are ruled out, because he's going to play a lot and he's going to score a lot and he's going to do hilarious things on Twitter. So you're going to want some Lance in your lineups. On the Washington side, of course, we know, you know, no John Wall has meant it's been the Bradley Beal, Tomas Satoransky show, who are playing well. I mean, they're playing very well. It's not a great backcourt matchup. Now, that could change, absolutely, if we have no Darren Collison and no Victor Oladipo. You have to expect that defense takes a step backwards there, because you don't have your normal core starters in there. So we'll keep our eye on the injury news there. But, you know, this is one of the higher totals on the night, so it's interesting. Jazz at the Pelicans, 213 total here. And the Pelicans are favored by 2 at home. And that line has moved a little bit in favor of the Jazz. But that's interesting. And, you know, makes a lot of sense. I think that this line would really, really move with the news about Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell currently questionable with an illness. We'll see if he's gonna go. He's got flu-like symptoms. You know, and that's an issue. Now, Rodney Hood came back. Your immediate thought is, okay, well, if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play, it's Rodney Hood, right? Well, he came back the other night and he only played 15 minutes. In fact, he played 15 and Alec Burks only played 20. Royce O'Neal playing a ton of minutes there at the three. Hard to project what's going to happen if Donnie Mitchell plays, but if Donnie Mitchell does play, then you have to like him in this spot against the Pels, no doubt about it. On the Pelicans side of things, you know, no serious injuries that we're concerned about. The biggest thing that we're looking at is what is, you know, the Nico Mirotic thing do? Well, the good news is it makes this offense a lot more competitive. It's going to take, you know, some of the usage away from, you know, second unit guys, but we're not really that concerned about it. He was good. I mean, he was really good. He put up 18 and 12 in his first game against Minnesota, 35 minutes. So it came off the bench, kind of a Lou Williams type role, give him a little bit of scoring in the first half off the bench. And then was, finished the game out there. So he did have four steals. So don't get blown away by the 46, 48 fantasy points there. You know, four steals is an outlier performance for him. He's got good hands, but I don't necessarily see him averaging, you know, two plus steals per game. So, you know, I would say knock that down by 9 points. Let's call it 37. I think that's a very reasonable number to start projecting Nico for in good matchups. Now, Utah is not a very good matchup defensively, so I'm impressed by how high this total is, though. The pace for Utah has been up. Josh pointed that out. It's been up, but their defensive efficiency is still very, very strong. Charlotte versus Denver, 218 total here. This one's jumped, actually, to 219. Denver favored by 6 at home. Charlotte's gone on this little West Coast road trip here. On the injury front, Charlotte still questioning whether or not Marvin Williams is going to be available with that ankle. Frank has filled in for him and been effective in doing so. On the Denver side of things, of course, we know that they're thin in the front court with no Mason Plumlee there. No Paul Millsap, obviously. He's not back until March-ish. So that's what we're dealing with. The Nuggets have been competitive, high scoring, keeping people in games. I don't really see this being a blowout, but I do see the Nuggets do. I think 6 is a very fair spread. I think they control the game for the majority. And if they can shut down Kemba Walker, then this game will be a blowout. But Kemba's been very effective in his last couple games, except for against the Suns, which is, you know, obnoxious. Chicago at Sacramento, 211 total here. Sacramento favored by 2.5, which is just disrespectful to Chicago. But this is the battle of the bad Super Bowl. This is your Super Bowl hangover game, right? Like, hey, we have one of the best football games of the year last night. Now you have to watch Chicago, Sacramento. Chris Dunn still out, for the Bulls. He is still dealing with, that concussion like symptom, and Lauri Markkanen, still celebrating the birth of his child, which is nice of the Bulls front office to be like, listen, kid, it's your first kid. You don't have to rush out to Sacramento to play. It's fine. Bobby Portis loves the minutes. Just stay with the baby. You know, these are the trade-offs, right? These are the trade-offs. Let the man enjoy the baby and have some time. I do wonder why at 21 years old in the NBA, you have, you know, you already got it locked it down with a kid, but, you know, whatever. People make choices, man. Sacramento, I mean, who knows who's going to play? The one thing is Gary Temple is very much on like a on-off schedule, and he was on against Dallas last game. So he should be off tonight, which means maybe we'll get a little bit of extra Dan Bogdanovich. Of course, we know, if Scal plays, that's what's going to affect Zebo. But if Zebo goes, you got to look at him in this situation. Even though his price is elevated, you got to look at him here. It's really hard to project Kings these days. I think you have to go with the guys who you know are going to get minutes, which are some of the young guys, even though their minutes vary anywhere between 24 to 32, depending on the night. It's really, really hard to figure out what's going on with this team sometimes. So you don't have to play Kings, but they're there. Dallas at the Clippers, 211 total in this one. That has jumped to 214. Clippers are favored by 6 in this one. And as far as the injuries go, no serious Clippers injuries. Of course, Austin Rivers still out, probably will be for a while. But Danilo Gallinari has come back, and of course, all he does is get buckets, so he instantly starts scoring and has a really, really high usage rate, throwing the whole thing off of understanding what you know about the Clippers. So, can you go to Danilo Gallinari in this one? Especially if Harrison Barnes can't go, because Harrison Barnes is currently questionable with an ankle. you know, and I think you could, because small forward is very thin. You could definitely go to him. You know, he can score, and you know, he did it against Chicago, but he is a guy who's going to be aggressive and get buckets. Tobias Harris played well in that Chicago game too. So it's not an apples to apples comparison trying to figure out what the heck is going on with the, Clips when they play the, you know, the Bulls. Like, that's just not, that's not an easy thing to decipher, especially now that they're playing, you know, a much more just kind of competent team in the Mavs. Even though they're not a very good defensive team, they're much more competent. They're not going to allow you to score just at will like the Bulls are. But we'll keep our eye on the Harrison Barnes news. He has an ankle. If he can't go, it's hard to really, I would think it's going to be a lot of Dwight Powell at the four, right? And then you kind of have maybe some Wesley Matthews at the three. That would be kind of how I would project it, because they would probably push, you know, Devin Harris, Yogi Ferrell, and DSJ to the two. They have a lot of those flexy two guards, one two guards, you know. That's my guess what they would do. And they would need someone else at the four. Well, the 4-5 combination. So you would probably pick up those minutes with Dwight Powell and Saul Mejri. And Dwight has been good, man. He's been really effective. About a fantasy point per minute. And in his last two games, he's gotten over 24 minutes. So if he keeps this up, if he's on Carlisle's good side, we could see some Dwight Powell minutes tonight for sure. It's not like you need the value, though. This is the thing about this slate. It's weird. All right, let's go ahead into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right. You know, we start with the studs here on this slate, but we have two players over 10K, so we'll talk about our 9K plus guys here. Damian Lillard versus Detroit. He's 9K on DraftKings, but he's only 8,100 on FanDuel. It's an average matchup at best. Detroit is only marginally below average in FanDuel points allowed to, you know, above average to the point guard, efficiency to the point guard. And then the last 10, they've actually allowed a lot of points, so 12% above average on the, you know, on the season. It's not a great trend. On the recent form, it has been a decent trend. Lillard's been very consistent in the numbers, which is why you say, okay, cheap price on FanDuel, 8,100, kind of an average matchup that's been trending badly lately, or trending, you know, good for opposition lately. I could get into this, you know, and 8,100 for him is a very, very nice price tag. He's been consistent, 42 fantasy points on the year. And in the last five, he's averaged the same 42 with 1.2 fantasy points per minute. So 24, 4, and 7 just seems to be the numbers for him. And we're not going to really change that. At that price, you're fine with it. I mean, he does have a ceiling. I don't know if he shows a ceiling here. You know, this is a mediocre total. It's mediocre pace game. I don't know. You know, I don't know if this is a ceiling opportunity, but it does feel like a very high floor game based on how things have been going against the point guard recently with that 12% boost over above average they've allowed. So, yeah, I mean, Goran Dragic had 53, which is craziness, just craziness. So Dame definitely in play at that price. At shooting guard, you have two options here that are pretty expensive and interesting. It's Oladipo versus Beal. Now, Oladipo now questionable with that illness. If Oladipo doesn't go, give me Bradley Beal. Really, I mean, that's really kind of one of the AB things that I'm doing here, right? But Oladipo versus Washington, 9,300 on FanDuel, 84 on DK. I don't know how I feel about the price, to be honest with you. Washington and Beal, they've been top 10 DVP all year. He's currently eighth in the league. He's been less consistent of late, but he's still showing that ceiling. I mean, you had one outing of 23, and then you had a 52. You have a lot of guys with ceiling on this slate, but also really, really rough floors, like Depot, Jokic, all those guys that, you know, can win you a tournament if they show up, but you don't have a lot of consistency, which is part of the reason why an 8K Damian Lillard, who's very consistent, is very interesting. You know, he's been fine in the last four, average of about 24 real-life points, 30% usage. He has to score more than 20 points here, and I don't know. I think he can score 20. against Beal. My question is there profit potential in that price? I don't know if there is. You're asking him for well over 45 points. That's a big number from Oladipo. Decent total, but Bradley Beal has been very good. So every wing that he has faced in the last 10 has been under 25 points, except for DeMar DeRozan. Now, elite wing, 45 points from DeMar DeRozan. I don't know. Beal versus Indy. If Oladipo can't go, okay, 8,400, 8,900 on DK. I love the price on FanDuel. You're asking Beal for over 40. That's not that crazy, especially with the way he's been playing. And the interesting thing is that, you know, you would say to yourself, well, he's been doing more scoring. He hasn't. He's been doing more fantasy scoring because he's taken a huge bump in assists and rebounds. He's like +3 in assists and +3 in rebounds in the last couple games. And the scoring has been very steady, about 24 or 25 points per game. But he's now up to like 7 assists, 7 rebounds a game. He's been insane. I mean, 10 points above his season average. He's averaged 48, and he's been very consistent in that, rather than Oladipo, who, you know, we know is you know, swinging from 50 to 25. Beal has been very consistent, tight range of outcomes above 30 points. I think he has a much more clear floor and at a better price. I like the floor plus price combination of Beal a little bit more than I like Oladipo. Especially if Oladipo is only half speed. If he's got the flu or he's out, love it. You know, the whole John Wall thing is really interesting because he has the same usage, same raw points. He's just creating more. And it's a real testament to Bradley Beal's game. Like, that he's able to create assists and rebounds without John Wall there is really interesting. Small forward, nothing. Small forward is an absolute fucking disaster on this slate, and it makes you not want to play the slate. Anyway, it'd be nice if we just had, like, LeBron. You know, you'd be like, oh, click. Who cares? I don't have to think about it. I just have LeBron. Power forward. Well, sorry. Center. I used to talk about AD at power forward. I wrote him under power forward, but he's not it. He's now center on FanDuel, which makes this annoying. It's annoying, frankly, because you used to have a situation where you would have a power forward spot that you could use that was unique. You could use a stud 11K when power forward was bad. Power forward's very deep today, so you don't really have to worry about that, but I really don't like that AD has now moved to center, because center, I liked having AD and a stud center in my lineup at times. But let's go down. I mean, Blake is there. I don't love the matchup with Portland. They're a good rebounding team. I don't mind it, but I do think he's going to slow down here soon. I just don't necessarily think that we're going to see this continued, you know, serious production from him. You know, and we started to see it in the Miami game, right? I mean, 37 fantasy points, relatively inefficient, you know, shooting 30% from the field. That's Blake. Like, high usage, sort of inefficient. That's it. So, you know, let's look somewhere else. Let's look towards the center position here. And I started talking about Anthony Davis versus Utah. He's 11-7, 11-2 on DK. On the season, this is one of the worst matchups on the slate. Gobert is a problem. He is. The whole team defense is a problem. But we've seen some big numbers lately, and it really makes you turn your head. Drummond put up like a 80, and Jonas Valanciunas put up like 45. Weird. I can't really explain it, except for to think that, you know, maybe Gobert is in full health, or because the season is, you know, not a playoff season, that they're not actually playing as good a defense, or they're trying something out. I have no idea. I don't know what to make of him. 55 plus points in this situation seems very reasonable, considering what he's done in each of the last 5 games without Boogie. But it's still, like, by the numbers, not a very good matchup. But as far as the slate goes, there's not really that many guys that you want to pay for, and you trust Anthony Davis, right? I mean, I know a lot of people out there go, trust Anthony Davis. He's always injured. Oh, great. Thank you for your insight. Yes. But as far as being one of the most elite offensive players in basketball, that's why I trust him. I mean, he's an elite talent, and we don't have that many elite talents on this slate. We have Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Nikola Jokic. So, and you know, and Beal and Depot, right? And one of them is questionable. So you don't have that much elite talent to pick from. So you kind of trust if there's anybody on this slate who puts up a 50 burger, AD would not be surprising, even against Utah. So that's kind of how you think about it. But I don't know. Do you have to have him? No. It's about how your roster build goes. And there's a lot of I just got a text from my brother-in-law that just said, I'm just watching the post game press conference on Brady just to see him complain. It's great. It's just spoken like a true Eagles fan. He's just watching Brady complain and just smiling, which also indicates that he's not at work, that he's on the couch watching Brady. Good for you, buddy. He's a very happy young man. Drummond versus Portland. This is the same thing as AD. It's a mediocre matchup, and he's been really good lately. I just think you're going to get some regression here. Portland has a lot of bodies down there, a decent rebounding team, a lot of size. The thing is he's with Blake, you know, in the last five, and they've only played two games together, but in the last five, he's averaged 1.59 fantasy points. He said double-digit rebounds and over 45 points in both of the games with Blake out there. So if your thought was, well, it's going to hurt his rebounding upside, well, not really. I mean, it hasn't, you know. He has a higher floor than a lot of guys. So you feel like you know what kind of return you're going to get the way he's playing this season. You're probably going to get 40-plus. I don't really see Portland stopping him from a path to a double-double. Do I see them limiting his ceiling? Yes, I do see that. So that's a complicated part. That's why I'm saying it's very similar to the AD matchup. You don't really have a ceiling here, but you do feel like you have a solid floor based on what you've seen of late. Jokic versus Charlotte. Its center is really deep. It's really deep. This is a negative matchup as well. All of these guys, none of these high-priced centers have a solid matchup. But Jokic is ridiculous. I mean, he had a 28-point game, and then he came out and he put up 72-point triple-double against Oklahoma City. And that's a terrible matchup. The efficiency numbers hate front court against Oklahoma City. What does he do? He smashes them. He goes for 72. Triple-double potential. Charlotte, in general, it's a bad matchup, right? Good rebounding team. They don't foul a lot. It's hard to project Jokic's usage. You don't know when he's going to show up. You don't know when he's going to, you know, just not take enough, you know, take 10 shots. It's weird. So he's tournament-only option. He's been that way all year, and I really haven't played him very much, to be honest with you. Dwight versus Denver, same thing, but he's cheaper now. He's 8,800 on FanDuel, so that's fine. But Denver has been an even better rebounding team than a lot of these guys out here. And you know, what do you do? Yeah, I don't know if you can pay for him. You know, I don't know if you, like, if you're choosing between Dwight Howard and Bradley Beal, like, there's 9 times out of 10, I'm going Bradley Beal in this situation, just because of the way he's been playing, his consistency, the matchup, etc. So I don't really love Dwight versus Denver. Those are your high-priced guys. That's it. That's how this slate breaks out. It's weird. It's lopsided at certain positions. There's some inconsistency. There doesn't feel like any smash spots. You're not getting any really high-floor stud-type plays. So you're going to have to make some decisions about the way you want to build and who you want to build around. The Grout is a little bit more dense. You have some better options. Like point guard, you have Goran Dragic versus Orlando, 7K, 73 on DK. Josh tweeted this out the other day. If Orlando, then point guard. It's so true. Thomas Sandoransky threw up career highs across the board. Go Dragon. It's the best matchup on the slate for FD plus minus, backcourt plus, plus minus, point guard plus minus. It's got all of them. So, you know, Goran's been great. He threw up a ceiling game the other day against Detroit, which is really impressive considering Detroit's defense has been very, very solid and Orlando's defense has been absolutely terrible. Why he took 23 shots, that's twice his over his average usage, I don't really know. They were finding something. Something was working for him. He was hot. I wasn't watching that game. But, well, the attempts were over average. The usage wasn't. It was like a 5% usage bump. It wasn't actually that big. But he was scoring 1.5 fantasy points per minute, which is insanity. He hasn't done that in many games this year. Now, he did play Orlando earlier this year and twice and had 28 in one and then 48 in the other. So if you're looking for an opportunity for Dragon to get it going, here he is. Let's go, Dragon. Love it. Kemba versus Denver. I assumed his price was going to be, I put him in my notes and then I was like double checking prices. He's 9K. I should have put him in the stud section, but whatever. I didn't feel like copying, pasting. So he's down here. So if you wanted to hear about him, I think this is a great matchup. It's crazy that he's more expensive than Damian Lillard, but hey, his number's been really good. He's averaged 30 raw points in the last five games, two performances of 38 and 41. Some of his best performances of the year in the last five. The correlation for me, the thing that I've been looking at for Kemba, getting to the line. If he can get to the line 10 times, and I'd look this trend up, there's a massive correlation with him scoring nearly more than 25 points if he gets to the line 10 times. Now, of course, you're going to say to yourself, yeah, Sean, I mean, yeah, 10 times for anybody is huge. But for Kemba specifically, this is something that he has to do. He doesn't do it as consistently as DeMar DeRozan or something like that. But if he can find this part of his game, him, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, these are guys who, if they can get to the free throw line, draw that contact, it's a really big deal. And when they do it well, and they score a lot of points, and they make their team better. But that's what we need from Kemba Walker. Denver's not an above-average fouling team, but they do allow above-average scoring to the point guard position. So we definitely can look to this as an opportunity for Kemba to be efficient. I don't know if I want to pay more for Kemba than I do for Damian Lillard. I feel like they have the same range of outcomes. And he's $900 more expensive. Does he have a ceiling? Yeah, but he has the same ceiling as Damian Lillard. I mean, that, right? Yeah. Rubio versus New Orleans. He's been on a fucking heater, dude. This guy, what is it with Rubio and the, like, after the midpoint of the season? Like, it is unbelievable how he did this last year. Remember, he picked it up and was insane in the back half of the year, and we were playing him all the time. He has had over 40 in his last three games. He's had over 30 in the two before that. And, you see the matchup against Phoenix, and you go, well, of course he had a great game against Phoenix. Toronto, very effective defensive backcourt. San Antonio, Golden State. I mean, he's doing this against really, really good teams, and enter a game against the Pelicans. It just doesn't make sense not to think about Rubio in this spot. It's the same with Goran Dragic. You know there's going to be a floor there. They're productive. They don't just have to score. You love it. Rubio, 7K, 65 on DK. DK is a easy play there. Love it. Shooting guard, Donovan Mitchell at 8K, 71 on DraftKings. Again, too cheap on DraftKings, but he's questionable with an illness. If he's a go, he's a lock. If he's like, I'm fine, he's probable. We get an upgrade to probable. I'm locking him in. I love him here. He's the best shooting guard matchup on the slate behind Sacramento. Sacramento, you got to play Buddy Hield. No. Give me Donovan Mitchell. You know, we saw the ceiling in Phoenix. He's insane. He's at a fantasy point per minute, but he has well over that in plus matchups. This is definitely a plus matchup, so love it. Love, 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 love it. Fine with the price. Love the situation. Gary Harris versus Charlotte just feels too cheap for the floor. 6,400 on FanDuel, 63 on DK. You know, plus matchup to wings. The thing that I will say about this is you're going to see just raw numbers to the shooting guard. Charlotte is a little bit good. It's fine. But to the small forward, they're terrible. And so a lot of times you see these matchups bleed into each other because you get the switches there between small forward and shooting guard. I love Will Barton for the same reason, but he's more expensive. Gary and Will certainly have the same range of outcomes. We know that. They're very, very similar. Give me the cheaper guy, right? That's kind of always, that's one of the ways that I play those guys is it's like, okay, who's cheaper? You know, it's not necessarily based on a positional thing because they play similar roles. But I do like Will Barton in this spot too at 7,200. Definitely in play, and he's been very, very consistent of late in the last four games with over 30 fantasy points. So certainly an option as well. I wish he was at small forward because small forward is brutal tonight. All right. Honestly, the whole world is going to roster Josh Richardson, and you should too. Okay? Good price, very solidly priced, phenomenal matchup, 6,500 on FanDuel. And, you know, he gets Orlando. He's been playing the two, the three, kind of, you know, however you want to describe it. But any way you look at it, you really gotta have him against Orlando. 63 on DK is very reasonable as well. You know, the consistency is there. He's a wing. It's the best backcourt matchup on the slate. They're terrible. Just do it. Because the rest of it is it's rough. Like, unless we get injury news. If we get some injury news, if we get the Victor Oladipo injury, we get the Donovan Mitchell injury, there's some other ways that you can go. But you look at the rest of this small forward position on FanDuel specifically, Otto Porter, I don't mind Otto Porter in this spot. You know, he's been fine. I think you could go there. But 7K is one of the higher price tags we've had in a while. Gallo, Harrison Barnes is potentially injured. If he plays, I think he's interesting because you've been attacking the three against the Clippers, but he's very expensive for basically a 28-point outcome. Maybe more, but I'm not really sure. So then you go down to the value guys of Stanley Johnson, Denzel Valentine. Are you excited about any of these? Maybe Boyan? You know, he's a starter who's got a, you know, decent profit potential at 4,900. It's rough. It's rough to say the least. So keep your eye on the injury news. I think, you know, I would say make a wise decision with your second small forward spot. But the first one for me is absolutely going to Josh Richardson. So moving over to the power forward, this is great. The whole power forward slate is phenomenal. But the first guy that I'm really interested in is Bobby Portis. No Markkanen. Means Portis will get plenty of good run backup center as a big without marking it out there. Best front court plus minus on the slate, center plus minus on the slate. He has been very, very solid. We know what he looks like when you don't have Markkanen or Mirotić out there. He's about a 30-point guy. He's still reasonably priced. So Bobby Portis for me in this situation, you know, 28 minutes equals 28 fantasy points. Against the Clippers, he shot 3-for-13. He can be really inefficient. If he's not hitting, he can be in trouble. But I still think that there's a lot to like about Portis in this situation, especially against Sacramento. They've allowed massive, massive scoring to that spot. Now, the other guy, by the way, it's small forward to keep in mind, is Paul Zipser. He's been playing a lot, and Sacramento is just not that good. I don't know. I'm looking at the Bulls rotation right now, and I forgot about how Zipser gets in there for Markkanen. Yeah, but Bobby Portis is the first guy that I'm interested in. Derek Favors versus New Orleans, 5,400, 5,600. It's a plus matchup in the front court, strangely enough. But really the reason I like him is because his price is so cheap. Like, I just haven't seen Favors at this price in a while. I see, you know, he's about a fantasy point per minute guy. He gets 28 minutes, 25 to 20, 30 minutes a game. You like him on the second unit here. I think it's very reasonable saying he gets 28 fantasy points per year. Very, very comfortable with that. It's been a good matchup to exploit. High pace, high total game. You know, especially if we get no Donovan Mitchell, you're probably going to need a little extra offense from Favors here. Interested in the price tag. Markieff versus Indy, though, is really, really good. 5,900. You want a front court presence against Indy. He's been running like that small ball five role. He can definitely Guard, I think Sabonis. I think he can probably handle him, you know, when they don't have Gortat out there. And so if you get no Miles Turner, you're probably going to see Markieff run at the five a little bit even more. And he's been playing about, 30 plus minutes a game for about 30 fantasy points. And at 5,900, you're right there at that price tag that you like. So those are some guys at the power forward position that I'm interested in. At the center position, not a ton that I love in this price range, but I will go to Rudy Gobert. The numbers have been off the charts. Without Boogie in the front court, it's been bananas. 37 plus points to fantasy points to every opponent since Boogie went down. Gobert at 7,300 has been very consistently set a floor of about 32. So I think it's a great front court matchup. It's been, you know, on the season, plus 2.7 above average efficiency allowed. So it's one of the better matchups in the front court on the year. Gobert has been good. He's been healthy. He's been effective. So I'm interested. Let's move over to the bargain basement. Let's talk about point guard here. Tyler Johnson is only 4,700. He put up 48 against Orlando last 2 weeks ago. Now, that was during that whole stretch when they were, you know, really banged up. But there's no reason not to like Tyler Johnson at 4,700. If we had to pay for some serious studs on this slate, Tyler Johnson would be a major piece in all my lineups. Love him. Love him, love him, love him. Wayne Ellington is the same versus Orlando. No problem with him. 4,500. Yeah, fine. If you need a cheap shooting guard, he's going to be fine. He's needed 25 minutes against Orlando. He's great. The whole backup behind Donovan Mitchell thing. Okay. Rodney Hood is 4K. Alec Burks is 36. Royce O'Neal is 43 at small forward. Now, Royce O'Neal is the one who got a bunch of minutes the other day. I don't know necessarily who is going to be. They are being careful with Rodney Hood, so I think he's out. Alec Burks only got 24, but we know his potential in this situation. So keep your eye on Royce O'Neal. It's weird to say, and I wouldn't roster him in cash because who knows what's going to happen with the minutes. I don't really know what. Hopefully Donovan Mitchell plays and we just don't even have to worry about this. But those are the three guys that are in play here. Okay, those are the three guys that are in play. And I would probably order them just based on recent trends, O'Neal, Burks, Hood. Just based on the minutes. That's minutes only. That's why I'm doing that way. At small forward, you know, I mentioned Boyan, and I'm serious about Boyan, especially if Depot sits. He's been good. At 4,900, he's been good lately. I have no issue with him. You know, no problem going there. Other than him, you know, I guess you could talk yourself into Stanley Johnson. I don't want to do that. I would go Lance for sure. I would have no problem going with Lance against Washington in this spot, especially if Depot sits. I have zero issue with him. He's been fine. He's been productive, and he has a ceiling. He really has a ceiling. When they need his offense, he can score. So I like him in that spot. I mentioned Royce O'Neal as well. He's an interesting one. Moving over to the power forward, I mentioned Paul Zipser too. I don't want to leave out Paul Zipser. 3,700 for 25 minutes, and he put up 25 fantasy points against the Clippers. Now, he got 20 minutes against Portland and put up 11. Is he going to be able to... Listen, it's the Kings. They're bad. It's a pace down, but they're bad. Okay? I do worry about that, though, just to be clear. So don't punt too hard. You know, slates like this, like punting too hard can cost you, right? Like you don't have to jam them in order to get to, you know, some sort of stud. Moving over to the power forward position, value guys. I have no problem with Kelly Olynyk. I love Kelly Olynyk. He's offensively minded. If we get no... If we get no Whiteside, Kelly Olynyk's going to be the first player that I lock in. I love him in this situation. No doubt about it. I also really like Dwight Powell. If you get no Harrison Barnes, I think Dwight Powell is interesting versus the Clippers. They've been really bad against the front court. And, you know, of course, he had a big game against Sacramento. But the thing that you like to see is that the minutes and the trust are clearly building with Carlisle. There's been some games where he doesn't play well, like the Portland game. He didn't get any run. But three of the last five, he's gotten over 20 minutes. It seems like they're trying to find a bigger role for him, or he's getting a lot more trust. I don't know. I might be overanalyzing this, but there's something there, 4,800 against the Clippers, who have not been very good in the front court. So definitely a potential spot that you could go to in that one. That's it for value. That's about as far as I'm going in this one. I think that's again, you don't have to go much further than that. So that's all I'm doing here. As far as centers go, a couple options that you have. Of course, injury news could change a lot of things, so keep your eyes on the injuries, injury report. But I do like Rolo. 4,400 for Rolo without Markkanen out there. He played 36 minutes against the Clippers. Markkanen missed. If you get no Markkanen, we have no Markkanen. Rolo is like one of the better values on this slate. So 4,400 for him feels like a lock button type play, especially now that we know you're not going to get that Markkanen first unit usage. And we know how bad Sacramento is against the center. Definitely comfortable with him. And Portis, like, I don't mind playing both of them. I have no issue with that. That's about it. Unless we get Bam against Orlando, you know, that's about it for me. That's about all I'm doing. All right, guys, let's go over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup. All right, you guys ready for the world's most boring, balanced lineup of all time? So this, I actually don't hate it because I think there's a very, very clear floor. And on a slate like this, I don't know how much you want from your ceiling. Like, you could go full ceiling and try, but I don't know how many. I mean, you'd be throwing darts with feeling like you have ceiling opportunity for like, you know, point per dollar value. So this is where I'm at, and I think I'm okay with it. This is assuming a couple things. I'm assuming that Donovan Mitchell plays, so, you know, and it would be helpful if Victor Oladipo didn't play, but I don't think it's a must that Victor Oladipo doesn't play for me to have Bradley Beal. But Goran Dragic, Ricky Rubio, Don Mitchell, Bradley Beal, Josh Richardson, Otto Porter, Bobby Portis, Markieff Morris, Robin Lopez. I mean, yeah, that's pretty boring. But I'm okay with it. Like, there is 30 to 40 points from all of these guys. That's where you're at. The issue that you have is that there's also very clearly 25 points from all of these guys. Like, these are all potentially 25 point guys. They have all in their lifetime been 24 points, which is part of the reason, by the way, which why you go with a much more stars and scrubs oriented approach. But the problem with stars here in this situation, and let's see what we can get with stars and scrubs here. Let me see if I can pull this off. I think we can. The problem with star the benefit of going high low in cash games is that you have a stud who you know has a much higher floor, 40 50 points, right? And the potential profit potential that comes with a 4K player getting 30 minutes and going for 25 points, because you have a guy at 7K who can do the exact same thing. So that's why you do it that way. But let's see, let's say we go Anthony Davis. You can make this happen. Let's say we go Anthony Davis. Let's go with Donovan Mitchell. Let's get Damian Lillard in there as well. And let's get, like, let's even get Blake in there, right? Fine, Blake. You can fit these guys in. It's not hard, okay? All of them. Like, I have no issue with this. So then at point guard two, I'm going to go to Tyler Johnson, 4,700. Shooting guard two, I'm going to go to Buddy Hield and Bogdan are both in play. No problem with Wayne, but Wayne Ellington right there. Boom, 4,600. I'm going to go to Josh Richardson at 6,065. I am going to go. I need one guy who's a little bit cheaper now. Let's call it. Well, let me see here. I'm going to need a little bit of value actually now. Now I'm getting a little. I got a little bit aggressive here. Got a little bit aggressive. Need a little bit extra value. Let me see if I can. Let's do Dwight Powell over and in, and let's. I have 3,500 per player. So maybe I can't go with all of those guys, but let's say if I get off of Blake, this lineup is actually not a problem at all. And at small forward, you go with, who could I have in there? Lance. Let's go Lance at 4,400. My two power forwards, go back to my 5,800, 5,500 guys. Let's go Derek Favors this time to save a little bit. Derek Favors, Bobby Portis. And then I have 5,400 left at the shooting guard position, which is Buddy Hield, which isn't great, but I can, you know, Wayne Ellington too. So this is Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Wayne Ellington, Josh Richardson, Lance Stephenson, Derek Favors, Bobby Portis, Anthony Davis. So you have Dame, Donovan Mitchell, and Anthony Davis in one lineup. I don't know. Is it better than what I just had? I'm not really sure if it is because, you know, you have Anthony Davis versus Utah. How much do you have to have that in your lineup? It's not necessarily a smash spot on paper. So, and Damian Lillard is, you know, not that much of a ceiling play. That's it, guys. Hey, good luck in your contest. I will see you tomorrow. Congratulations, City of Philadelphia. Enjoy it.